be in 2 Timothy. Actually, let me go back. Turn to Proverbs. Let me give you the proverb that I read this morning. And you should know which one it was. Proverbs 16. I was praying what the Lord would have me bring tonight just for a little bit. And as I was reading my proverb this morning, Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 3 is the one that the Lord gave me as I was asking what to bring this evening for a little bit. Knew my time, well, my time is what it is in the Lord's hands. Chapter 16, verse 1, it just says, "The preparations of the heart of man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." And verse number 3 is where I got stopped this morning. It says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." I had a little note here in my study Bible underneath it that just started out in bold words, controlling our thoughts. And the Lord had me just stop for just a minute and just ponder on some things. And I spent a good bit of the morning studying and looking up some stuff. And the question of our minds came into play for tonight. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. It sounds really easy, but it's a little bit more difficult than what this one verse says in here. You know, 2 Timothy in verse 1 and 7 says this, and then I'm going to pray. "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Let's pray this evening. Father, we sure do love you. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to come once again. Lord, I thank you for your help with the business meeting tonight. And Father, as we look at this matter of the mind just for a few minutes here tonight, Father, I pray that you would just help. Lord, get my flesh out of the way. And Lord, just let the words be guided by you. Let it be a help to your people tonight. Father, I thank you for what you just showed me today. And Father, we just sure do love you. Bind Satan, don't let him hinder. And Father, I pray that, Lord, your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. As I was looking at this thing about the mind this morning, when I was looking at that in Proverbs chapter 16 about the mind and 2 Timothy, when Paul was teaching young Timothy and helping him along, he tells him, he says, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And I was looking at that sound mind thing, and it's very interesting. As I was looking up the definition of it and looking it up, where it was used in the Bible, how it was used. This is the only time in Timothy, it's the only time when this word, sound mind, appears in the Bible. No other place in the Bible does it appear except for in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Sound mind just means this when I looked it up. It means a disciplined mind. It means a mind that has self-control, a mind that's in moderation. And when I looked it up, that was just the definition of it. Pretty much what I saw when I was looking at this is it's a mind that is receptive of correction. And I thought that was pretty important as far as our minds go and being children of God and trying to be Christ-like in the things that we do, a mind receptive of correction. But I also thought about this whenever I was studying this. It was a mind that has applied correction in our lives. Whenever I was looking at this morning, I was talking to Miss Sharon, and I was just sharing a couple little nuggets with her. And I was studying and looking up about this thing called the mind. And one of the articles that I had read as I was studying this, it said, what data are you feeding your subconscious mind? Neuroscience research by this Sunet Al in 2008 demonstrated that the brain is subconsciously aware of our decisions before we have consciously made those very decisions. And I thought what the studies showed, and you can look it up for yourself, pretty much across the board there, we're all saying the same thing. It says, in other words, we've already come up with a decision or an answer before that we realize that we have. And what I thought was so important is this, as we're looking at the subconscious, is just that it sets the stage for the whole teaching, preaching, whatever you want to consider what I'm doing tonight, of our mind, in that what we put in our subconscious, it decides our choices before we actually choose them. And I don't mean it to be confusing, but what it comes down to is this. It all starts with the input to our brain. That's what feeds our subconscious, is the things, right and wrong choices that we make. It all comes from our teaching, from our training. The things that we put in our mind are the things that our subconscious tosses around and makes the choices before we actually do it physically ourselves. And it was amazing. One of the things I was just reading was that they took several people and they put a lever, something in front of them, and they said, take your right hand or your left hand and push that lever, whichever one you want. And it said that, and that's where some of this came from, that subconsciously, your subconscious will already make the decision before you actively go ahead and do it. And when I started thinking about this, they said what feeds our subconscious pretty much comes all down to what we put in our mind. Now, I want to take this to physical fitness here just for a little bit, what we feed our brains with. And if you've heard this before, forgive me. I went back through my notes and I was looking all through what I'd preached here before, and I didn't think I'd hit on this. I may have. I have no idea, because my notes only went back to 2019. Actually, my wife was keeping track of what I'd preached before better than I was. But I wanted to look at this thing called physical fitness, because when you think about good physical fitness and keeping in shape, there are key elements that are very important to physical fitness. We have to put the right fuel in our bodies. You just can't put junk in and expect to be physically fit. You actually have to be aware of what you're putting in your body. You actually have to exercise in a way that challenges the body to grow and develop in the right way. Now, I want to flip it over to mental fitness for just a minute, because we all know what physical fitness is. We all know how to eat properly, and we all know how to exercise properly to get the right effect with our bodies. But mental fitness is somewhat similar in that we have to put the right mental fuel in for good mental fitness. To have our minds grow in the right way, we have to exercise it, challenge the mind in a way that grows and develops it in the right way. Now, when we look at our bodies, we realize that we can put in health food that's good for us. We can put in junk food that's, kind of tastes good, but it doesn't really do us any good. It might actually be a little bad for us. And there's some things that, we can put in our bodies that are just plain old poison. It's just not good for us. When we look at our mental munchies and what we put in our brain, you have to think about the things that what we do with our lives. Could we use our mental munchies to build a better career or build a career, period? Could we use it to build our marriages, make our marriage better? Could we use our mental munchies, what we put in our mind, to raise a family? Could we even use our mental munchies and study to honor God? These just things that we put in our brain, because don't forget, the choices that we make. I love to take it back to that first part there, because that made such an impact when I read that this morning, that everything that we feed in here, our subconscious takes, and it helps us decide our choices.
So with that, we got to be careful what we put in
to build our mental munchies. With our mental workout, Romans 8:6 says that for they that are after the flesh, they do, check this out, mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And that's Romans 8:6. Spiritually minded. To feed our minds with the right things. Now, I'm going to hit these three things real quick, and then we'll be done tonight. Three essentials to developing a sound mind. The first one is readiness of mind. This is the first essential to developing a sound mind. It's readiness of mind. It's our attitude. When we look at our minds, I have to ask, a programmed mind, and what is our mind programmed? What is it ready for? It may be said that we have our minds programmed to receive certain things and ignore other things. You know, sometimes we need to reprogram what we're interested in, what we're putting in. Paul put it this way in Acts 17 and 10 through 12, verses 10 through 12. He said, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews, where there were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily for those things were so, therefore many of them believed." When I look at what our brains are programmed to take in and what they're not programmed to take in, I think about so many people that, and you talk to many of them out in public each and every day. The people that you will talk to, and they'll shut you off. They don't want to listen to certain things. But if you strike up something about gossip, about something bad, they're all over it. You know, you may talk about a certain political thing. There may be a certain political thing. I'm not saying you bring it up. But there may be a certain political thing brought up, and they're all ears. It just depends on what their minds are programmed for. I like to have our minds programmed to receive good things. And that all depends on, you know, the people that we spend our time with, the conversations that we listen to, the things that we look at and research each and every day. The programming of our minds. The second thing I just want to mention quickly is a renewal of the mind. This is an adjustment, a renewal of the mind. Renewing is this, just a rebuilding. This is the second essential to developing a sound mind, is renewal of the mind, the adjustment. Renewing just means rebuilding, renovation, to renovate, the act of renewing, to make new after decay, destruction or deprivation. Renewal as the renovation of the heart by grace. This renewal of the mind, Romans 12:12 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It bothers me whenever I talk to, and I've not experienced it in this church, but I'm just saying out in public, and you've probably experienced the same thing. There are people that need renewal of their mind, even Christians. Because whenever you talk to certain people, that they, and if you bring up things about the Lord with them, and I've experienced it, I'm sure you have too, if you try to talk about the Lord and what the Lord has done, they kind of shut you down. They don't want to talk about those things, even though they say they're saved and they say that they're Christian. There needs to be a renewal of the mind with this. Renewal of the mind, Paul said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that maybe prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The third thing I want to look at tonight quickly is just the regulation of the mind. This is the action part. Third essential in developing a sound mind. King David said this, that I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. That perfect just means sound. It means wholesome. It means unimpaired, innocent, and having integrity. And church, I encourage each and every one of you this evening, as I look at this and King David, wholesome just means, well, not letting the outside world get to you. Not letting circumstances of life, and I know they're tough, and we do deal with them each and every day, but not letting them hinder your walk with the Lord. That unimpaired just means, well, you've heard about being impaired, what it is. The opposite of that, innocent, having integrity, doing things that please the Lord each and every day throughout our lives. That regulation of the mind, you've probably seen them out in public before. When we take our driving test, there are these things that are called regulatory signs. Don't park here. Stop. No skateboarding allowed. Handicap parking only. These are all regulatory signs. And what they're doing is they're instructing you what to do. With that regulation of the mind, King David put it pretty plainly when he said, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. That regulate, it just means to put in good order and subject to rules or restrictions. Things that we ought to have in our life each and every day. Philippians 2:5 says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That was our theme for one of our schools, the Bible club for the whole year. That was our theme verse that we used. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And throughout the year, we continued to study about Christ and just wonderful attributes that Jesus had as he walked this earth and taught and preached. But with that regulation of the mind, there was a man by the name of Frank Outlaw, and you may have heard this little thing before. He didn't start out as an outlaw, but that's what his reputation, it preceded him as that as he went on in life. He wrote his little biography in one little paragraph as kind of like a warning, an instruction, regulation for others. He says, watch your thoughts, they become your words. And I thought this was an interesting thing that he wrote. He said, watch your thoughts because they become your words. As we're dealing with this thing of the mind, watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions because they become your habits. Watch your habits because that becomes your character. And watch your character because that becomes your destiny. And I thought this was an interesting little thing as he started growing up. Did some research on him that, you know, and like many people, they don't start out bad. But because they didn't have any regulation of mind, they didn't have that sound mind, that they started making bad choices. I watched a young man not long ago as I had him in school. He was a good young man. And I could watch as he started going down after he got out of school. He had some really good godly friends. And I watched him start making bad choices. And it this afternoon, Miss Sharon comes up to me and says, the deputies are over there. And I said, well, let's pray for him. Because I know that he didn't start out bad. I had him in school teaching character lessons to him. Good young man. But I know this isn't the first time that the law's visited his house. he didn't have that regulation of mind. I realize he's still young, and we've all probably been back there, can go back in our lives and realize when we made some mistakes. I've got a lot of regrets, I know that. But I'm thankful that the Lord, we can move past that through the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I was looking at this, just the regulation of our minds, just this thing about minds, and I'm done for this evening. But I thought about that verse in Proverbs chapter 16 this evening, that if we commit thy works unto the Lord, thy thoughts shall be established. And what Paul said to Timothy, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It takes some work to have the right mindset. It truly does. If we get caught up in everything that's going on all around us, all the circumstances and the news and everything that goes on around us, just in a lot of people that we come in contact with each and every day. And I realize that sometimes your jobs can get to you. These are part of the circumstances and part of the feeding of our minds too, who we're around each and every day. But I believe when I look back at the studies that were done, I think it's so important, church, and I encourage you, always watch what we put in our minds, whether it be on the internet, on TV, especially the people that we hang around. Everything that we put in here is going to feed that subconscious. And the way we make our choices, I always heard it said in EMS when we were training on the rescue squad years and years ago. We train and 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 we train, and we've already trained on something and we'll train on it again. We train and we train and we train and we train. And somebody asked, why do we train on this stuff so much? They said, because when it comes down to panic time, you're going to revert back to your training. What you've put in here time and time again, you'll do it. Your subconscious will do it, and then you make the physical choice to act on that. So as I leave this with you tonight, be careful. Everything that we put in here is going to feed that subconscious, and when it comes crunch time and we're under pressure, we want the right stuff to come out. Father, we sure do love you. Lord, we just thank you for this evening. Lord, again, thank you for your help with the business meeting tonight, Lord, the officer elections. Lord, I pray that you just help us this evening, tomorrow, the rest of the week, Father, the rest of the year, Lord, as we go out and about and things that we do and the people that we're around, Father, ever help us to understand that the things that we dwell on and things that we partake of, that it does feed us and feed our minds in right and wrong choices, Father, whether we want to or not. And Lord, always help us to spend our time and dwelling with the right things, things that honor you. Father, that you get all the glory out of each and every one of our choices. And Father, when we slip, I thank you for forgiveness. We sure do love you, Lord, and all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.